Thank you for joining our podcast. We hope that this message will both teach and encourage you. Here's today's message.
I know Pastor Bob Nichols really wanted to be here, but he's doing what he needs to do to get well. So we're very thankful for that. But once again, on behalf of Pastor Bob and Joy Nichols, welcome to Calvary Cathedral International. Now it's my distinct honor to introduce to you a good friend, a wonderful friend of Pastor Bob Nichols, of mine and of this church, our district presbyter, Pastor Doug Martin. Amen. Let's let him know how much we love and appreciate him.
Amen. Thank you, Charlie. You know, Big John Hall is an inspiration of mine. He inspired me to stretch my voice down. I'm still working on it, brother. I'm singing right with you. It also reminds me of that passage of Scripture where Jesus said, this is powerful. He said, "Lo, I will be with you always." So that's just an affirmation, brother. Us baritones and basses, we just don't get enough play. They're just singing higher and higher. And I just thank God for a good brother like Brother John Hall. Amen. It is so wonderful to be a part of a fellowship. And we have some other pastors that have gathered in here from our section of churches. We have about 14 churches in the Northwest Fort Worth section. And I looked around and I saw Brother Tim Stevens from Azle, right back there. Azle First, would you give him a welcome? He's also one of the sectional committee persons right there. That's Steve. He serves on the Northwest Fort Worth sectional committee. Just back to him, one of my associates, Pastor Cindy Thomas from Vision Church, as she's serving as one of my associates there. She's with us tonight. Would you let her know that you welcome her? I also saw Brother Mike Shutter from First Assembly in White Settlement and several of the White Settlement family that are in with us gathered in tonight. So let them know. Yeah, I'm looking around. I don't want to call people out who aren't here, but I want to make sure not to overlook anybody either. And so we're looking at, I almost said something else, but I see the Moors back there from White Settlement First. So something that we're doing, something that we're doing is we're looking to take every time there's a fifth Sunday night, get together as a group of churches. And so I am just so grateful. You guys are such great hosts and hostesses, and you're led by a prince of a man by the name of Brother Bob Nichols and someone right there at his right hand. Yeah. And it's been a privilege to know Charlie and get to know Lori. And way back, Charlie and I have been involved in the city of Lake Worth doing things together. And we've eaten a lot of Mexican food together. And we sat on committees. And we were able to see, and I believe your church, I know your church was a part of this. Do you remember getting that newspaper out at Easter and everybody getting a Bible? Do you remember that? That's one way that I got to know Charlie. And I'll tell you what, these are wonderful people. And Brother Bob Nichols, I've had the pleasure of serving this section as a presbyter. And he would call me, I'm just a little bit younger than he is, as you can tell. Hopefully you can tell I'm just a little bit younger than he is. And such a prince of a man, that deep, resonant, perfect for radio voice, perfect for disseminating the Word of God. He would call me, just surprise me with a phone call. And he'd say, "Pastor Doug, you're my presbyter, and I was wondering if we could meet for lunch. I'd just like to spend some time with you." And I was like, "Brother Bob wants to spend time with me." What an encourager. What a wonderful encouragement. Every time you'd get off the phone with him, you just felt that much taller. It was just wonderful. Yeah. You've had wonderful leadership here, and I thank God for that. And we just wanted to come and have church with you tonight. Is that all right?
Amen.
Yeah. And something else it's my privilege to do is to stand here as a presbyter, somebody that I've served on the presbytery with. And this goes way back to a meeting. I first met Kermit Bell. He probably won't remember that because we were just staff members, I think, at our respective churches at the time. It was a Christian education meeting down in Waco, I think it was. And I had a chance to meet him. And then later, we served on the presbytery together. And before that, as a pastor, we would go to Austin. And we would get involved in church leadership meetings about the flag and the cross and the impact of the gospel and how we could change our nation, and how we can pray for our nation, and how pastors can get involved. And every time we would just seem like it was always in a parking garage. We would be walking in, and we'd get a chance to talk. And I'll tell you, He was always utterly approachable and always so open-hearted and so warm. And I always appreciate that's his nature. And I'm telling you, it hasn't changed. And the Lord has used that in his life. And I'm so proud and so glad to be able to introduce to you our assistant superintendent of the North Texas District and our missions director and coordinator, Brother Kermit Bell. And I'll let you introduce your wife if you'd like to. Yeah.
Thank you, and God bless you. Please be seated. I want my wife just to remain standing. This is my wife of 37 years, Cindy. Thank you, Cindy. Cindy has a relationship with the Lord and the Holy Spirit that at times gives me godly envy. You know what I'm talking about? And I'm so thankful for her in my life. It is so good to be here. Brother John Hall, you blessed us again. He leaned over, actually greeted me right before he came up, and he said, I'm going to sing a song. I actually have two. Is that okay? I said, I'm not going to tell Big John Hall anything, you know? I said, Brother Charlie's in charge. Just talk to him. Charlie, it is a joy to be here. Would you send our regards to Pastor Bob Nichols? It's humbling to share his pulpit and share the pulpit that you minister from as well. But I'm thankful to be here tonight. As Brother John Hall was singing that song, the first one he sang makes me want to shout. You know, songs can have special meaning, and that song has special meaning because we were in Central America doing the Lord's work. And after we had ministered for a week, we were exhausted, and the pastor there said, we want to take you to the beach for the day. And we said, that's fantastic. So we went to the beach, a beach called Del Toro, the Bull was the name of the beach. And we were there with one of our children, and we were just, Cindy didn't want to get her hair wet. You ladies relate with that. She just, I guess, had it coiffured, and she got in the water just up to her knees, but didn't want to get her hair wet. Our son, he and I were playing. We really never got in above our waist, and before we knew it, a rogue wave came in, swept all of us. We just tumbled and tumbled. Now keep this in mind, we were not in even above our waist. And by the time we got oriented and got our heads, we didn't have life preservers, we didn't have surf boards or anything to hold on to. By the time we got our heads above water, we were hundreds of yards from the shore. And it was the first time in my life that I realized this was probably when I was going to die. You see, the devil's actually tried to kill me 3 times over my lifetime that I'm aware of. I'm not going to go into that. And actually, this, what I'm sharing, is not even part of the message, but I felt prompted to share it because we came back. Now, we survived, right? But we really thought, we really had a near-death experience. As a matter of fact, Cindy had taken on so much water, she said she heard someone calling for help and didn't realize it was her own voice trying to call for help. Supernaturally, I mean, there was nobody on the beach. This was in the middle of the week. There was nobody there. But there were some workers on a house that happened to see us and first thought we were playing, which of course we were. Then they realized we were in trouble. And complete strangers ran down to the beach, disrobed, went into the water, and got Cindy and our son, who was in the 5th grade, Michael, brought them to shore. I was actually trying to get to shore to go get help for them. And just when I thought this is my last stroke, my entire body was burning. I'd exerted so much energy. I've never felt anything like it before. I thought, this is it. I wonder what it's going to feel like when I take that salt water into my lungs because I can't go any further. And I brought my head up, and when I did, my toe felt a little bit of sand. And somehow that revived me, and I put my head down and tried to go again. And I was able to stand up, but I knew if I fell down, I'd still drown because I was still in the water. And I fell on the beach. The sand was burning hot, but I couldn't move. I've never had this experience before. My body disconnected from my brain. My brain was saying, see, I didn't know Cindy and Michael had received help. I was trying to get help for them. My brain was saying, go get help, but my body refused to listen. First time in my life, I couldn't move. We came back from that trip. Actually, there's so much to that story. God woke a lady up in our church to intercede for us at that moment. She was interceding. She said, I saw Cindy and people gathered around her and they were saying, she's dying, she's dying. Well, that's what happened. Cindy was over there and when they got her out, they began to expunge the water from her lungs. We made it back home. It was a sobering experience. And I was leading worship that first Sunday we got back. And we began to sing that song. When I think about the Lord. I don't sound like him. I know that. How he saved me. How he raised me. We got to that part. Yeah, he put my feet on solid ground. I had a whole new revelation of what that meant in my life. And from that moment on, I can never sing or hear that song without being overwhelmed with gratitude for what God did to spare us that day. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now let me get into what I believe the Lord has for us this evening. Every year on the third Sunday of September, there's a national emphasis across the USA. Maybe you've heard about it. It helps congregants reach out to their friends and neighbors and invite them to church. It's called National Back to Church Sunday. Have you ever heard of that? National Back to Church Sunday. It's a great concept. I thought about this. You know, now for us, as people of the Spirit, I'm thinking maybe we ought to have a National Back to the Holy Spirit Sunday emphasis every year. And then I realized that's not near enough. Maybe we ought to do it every month and emphasis. Then I realized maybe we ought to do it every week. But of course the reality is we need to be focused on the things of the Spirit every single day. The only church you find in the New Testament is a Spirit filled church. Let me say that again. The only church you find when you read the New Testament is the Spirit filled church. And I know at times we can get discouraged when we look at what's happening around us. But listen, anytime you start to get discouraged, you need to lift your eyes up and look across the world because the Church of Jesus Christ is growing across the world. Pentecostal. Spirit-filled, charismatic, full gospel, apostolic, Assemblies de Dios, Pentecostal Union. I know these are different names and they don't all believe exactly the same thing. But they are part of 650 million Spirit-filled believers across the globe. 650 million. That's double the population of the entire United States. Let that sink in just for a moment. That means almost one in every 10 people on the face of the earth is a Spirit-filled believer. We are part of a victorious church. We are part of a Spirit-filled church that is making inroads in places, hard places all over the world. And today, thousands of people came to Jesus Christ across the globe. Thousands in China, thousands in Africa, thousands in Latin America. And 80% of those, listen to this, 80% of those came to Jesus today through a Spirit-filled church. I'm so thankful that God has allowed me to be part of this last day's church, the Spirit-filled church. Now I know I'm speaking to people who love the things of the Spirit. But I'm concerned when I see pastors who tend to put aside, there's a temptation to put aside some of the things of Pentecost, some of the things of the Spirit-filled church because they see some churches, some evangelical churches that seem to be making greater headway. And I want to say, whoa, not so fast. Not so fast, because the reality is we cannot abandon our heritage. We cannot abandon what it means to be Pentecostal. As a matter of fact, we just need to remind ourselves that in a few years, 75% of the church around the world will be the Spirit-filled church. I'm so thankful that God allows me to be a part. Jesus said when he left, he would send the Holy Spirit. We're going to look at some scriptures in just a minute. But there were 110 of them. Mary, the mother of Jesus, with his brothers, plus about 94 others, and the 11 apostles. They had a 10-day prayer meeting. Remarkable, isn't it? 10 days. And on day 10, the Holy Spirit showed up. Let's read it. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I want to share three observations from this chapter in the book of Acts this evening. Let me tell you, first of all, I actually have a little cough drop in my mouth. For the first time since I can remember, many, many years, my voice, while we were singing, I guess I was just singing so loud, my voice began to get a little weak. And so I asked Cindy if she had a cough drop, and one of your ushers, I tell you, you have a servant's atmosphere here. It's incredible. Found me a little lozenge. I put it in my mouth, but it reminded me of the story of the preacher who would always put a mint in his mouth when he stood up to preach. And it would take about 25 to 28 minutes for that little mint to dissolve. And when it was dissolved, he knew his time was up. And he stopped preaching. One Sunday, he reached in his pocket and he pulled that little mint out, plopped it in the side of his mouth, and he kept preaching and he kept preaching. 25 minutes, 30 minutes, he kept preaching. 35 minutes, 40 minutes, he kept preaching. 45 minutes. Finally, he realized it wasn't a mint, it was a button that was in his pocket he stuck in his mouth. He would have preached forever. Here's the first thing I want us to look at. The Holy Spirit manifests as He chooses. The Holy Spirit manifests His presence as He chooses. You see, we see in the book of Acts here that what happened was pretty amazing. You know, Joel mentions dreams and visions and prophecies. You know, Joel mentions that when the Spirit's going to be outpoured, there's going to be dreams and visions, young men and old men and men servants and maid servants, and they're going to prophesy. We don't see any of that in Acts chapter 2. What we see is we see a rushing mighty wind. We see tongues of fire setting upon each person's head. We see a loud commotion that gets the attention of the entire city. But yet Peter understood that even though the Holy Spirit showed up as he chose to show up, he knew it was connected to Joel chapter 2. He understood that this was the promise. Now, I know the Holy Spirit is considered, or the symbol of the dove is used to help us understand who the Holy Spirit is. That's wonderful. I love doves, by the way. Well, that sounds good. Love doves. We hear them at our house. As a matter of fact, there was a dove that had a little nest right outside our window. And Cindy saw the eggs. Then she saw the little hatchlings, if that's what they're called. Then she saw the mother stop coming by bringing food. And she saw one fly the nest and wondered if the other one would just sit there how long, and the next day the other one took flight, and it was wonderful. I love doves. They're gentle. They're beautiful. They're peaceful. I like it when the Holy Spirit shows up as a dove. But He doesn't always do that. The Holy Spirit can be as gentle as a lamb, yet as bold as a lion. The Holy Spirit might come with a kid glove, like a soft leather glove, but inside with an iron fist. He may be harmless as a dove, but wise as a serpent. Have you heard that somewhere before? He may come as a soft, gentle voice, but as we just read, he can also come as a rushing, mighty wind. And we cannot dictate how the Holy Spirit comes and how he manifests himself. Here's some examples where the Holy Spirit didn't express himself as a gentle dove. The day of Pentecost, we just read, Ananias and Sapphira, there was nothing gentle about that at all. They lied to the Holy Spirit. And they came up under the judgment of God. Saul of Tarsus, I don't think he would describe his experience on the Damascus Road as a gentle dove showing up. Acts 4:31, they prayed for boldness. And when they prayed, the place where they assembled together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God with boldness. That doesn't sound like a gentle dove either, does it? I've made an interesting observation. This won't surprise you. It's interesting to me that when someone comes to Christ, the music that they experience right in that season and when they come to Christ tends to be their favorite music. I know a gentleman who came to Jesus during the Jesus movement, and he loved that style of music. Matter of fact, he was just a saved hippie, basically, and he loved that style of music. There's nothing wrong with that. On people who came to Jesus in a generation before that, they loved the music that they sang, the hymns or those choruses. People that come to Jesus today, they love this music. It seems to me that people that when they come to Jesus, they have a preference for the music that they encounter or experience in those early days of discipleship. And there's nothing wrong with that. But if we're not careful, they will not only not accept the other, but they will despise the other music. But you have to remember that that's not the music that they identify with, but somebody else is identifying with it. Now are you still with me? Hang with me. I've observed this as well. That when people get baptized in the Holy Spirit, the manifestations that are present when they receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit tend to be the manifestations they are most comfortable with. If you're in a meeting or in a church where there's tongues, people speaking in tongues, which is this evidence of being baptized in the Holy Spirit, you're comfortable with that. If people are actually falling down, you may be comfortable with that. If that's the environment that you came into the Spirit-filled life with, and that's okay. But what I've noticed is that people tend to prefer what they're comfortable with. Now hang with me. I've had another observation. Isn't this amazing? I have three observations. I've also observed churches and movements do the same thing. The manifestations of the Spirit that were present when they formed are the ones they prefer and they're most comfortable with. But we must be careful. Many times, old movements miss out on what God is doing because their preference makes them prejudiced to what God is doing today. We're talking about the Holy Spirit manifest as He chooses. And I believe that there is a revival coming to our nation. My prayer is not only for revival. I believe it is coming. My prayer is, dear God, don't let me miss it because I'm prejudiced or I have preferences that don't fit with what you're doing. Come on. We have to make sure that we do not allow these things that we've grown accustomed to, that we don't allow them to cause us to miss out. You say, well, Pastor, that's not me. I'm going to share some stories that may make you a little uncomfortable. And the purpose of that is to help stretch our mind to realize that the Holy Spirit manifests as He chooses. Now, listen, I know that we have to have a grid to discern because not everything's of the Lord. Not everything's of the Spirit. The Bible tells us we have to test the spirits. I get that. But my concern is not that we're testing the spirits. We're just testy people. We become connoisseurs of what the Holy Spirit should look like. And in doing so, we are putting ourselves on the sideline and we risk missing out on the next move of God. Instead of preening over this sign or that wonder or that manifestation, well, I don't know if that's the Holy Spirit or not. Well, I don't know if that's the Holy Spirit. Well, I don't know if that's the Spirit or not. Instead of preening or being those that are critical of what is happening, I don't want to be that way. I want to be one that says, God, if there are no signs and wonders, something's wrong. I want to be one that says, God, you never have done it the same way twice in the scripture or in church history. Did you hear me? God has never moved the exact same way twice, either in the scripture or in church history. There's always enough to anchor us to the previous move of God, but there's just enough to anchor us, and then there's a whole lot to stretch us so that we're open to what God is doing today. Cindy and I, a couple of weeks ago, we went and visited a church. And it's an independent church. It was a Baptist church until the pastor went to the Brownsville Revival. And these are his words. That messed me up. It's a church in Cleveland, Texas. And here's the reason we went there. Our superintendent one day showed me a little bottle with oil. And he said, someone gave this to me. And he said it came from a Bible that is producing oil. Well, that got my attention. Do I have your attention? And so he said, I don't know anything about it, but apparently this is the thing. So I did a little research, and sure enough, you know, you can find a lot on YouTube, right? Not everything you look at on YouTube is accurate, though. But I looked at this. There's this man named Jerry. He's a humble man. Been prayer partners with this pastor for 22 years. And he's had the same Bible for 17 years. It's all marked up. It's got highlights. It's got notes. And one day he noticed that in a certain part of the Bible, the pages were getting oily. He didn't pay much attention to it. Until he noticed a few weeks later or months later, it was oily in a different part of the Bible. And eventually the entire Bible was saturated with oil. And so he put it in a Ziploc bag and he took it to his pastor and their prayer meeting and said, Pastor, I don't know what to do with this, but my Bible seems to be leaking oil. By the time he got there in that bag, there was some oil that had already collected in the bottom of the bag. The pastor said, I don't know what to do with it either. So they began to pray and say, God, this appears to be a sign and a wonder. We don't know what you're doing, but we want to know what you want us to do. Well, they put the Bible in a plastic tub, and that oil began to fill up in the plastic tub. Then it began to overflow out of the plastic tub. They felt like the Lord told them really three or four things. Number one, don't advertise it. Number two, don't sell it. Number three, don't try to market it. Number four, don't try to explain it. So they said, we're doing our best to follow what God told us to do. So when they're invited, if they feel it's the witness in their spirit, it's the right thing, they'll take the Bible. So they were at this church in Cleveland, Texas on June the 16th. It's Father's Day. That's Cindy's birthday. She said, that's what I want for my birthday. I want to go to Cleveland and see this Bible. Well, come on, man. If your wife tells you what she wants for her birthday, that's easy, right? That's a no-brainer. So we went. And listen, I can't vouch for these individuals. I don't know their life, but all I can tell you is everything that I observed seemed to line up. Everything every question I had seemed to really kind of be put at ease. As a matter of fact, I have a little bottle of that oil right here. They have filled up 150,000 of these and given away over the last 2 years. 150,000, these little vials of oil. It's clear. It's odorless. It has They say people have tested it. It seems has some characteristics of the mineral oil, but they really don't know where it comes from. They can't identify the makeup of it. It's interesting, isn't it? How many of you are being stretched right now? Come on, it's okay. Be honest. The Holy Spirit can manifest as He chooses. Now listen, I'm not saying 100% that what's happening is that, but everything I can tell, even in my spirit, it feels authentic. But here's what I know. I'm not going to try to come against that because God may be doing something that's outside of my own comfort zone. And if I try to come against that, I run the risk of missing out on what God wants to do in my life. And so I say, you know what, Lord? You're going to take care of that. Here's what I love about that. The man that preached that day was actually the pastor, Jerry, the man who owns the Bible. His pastor's name is Johnny. Johnny preached. I didn't agree with everything Johnny said Sunday, but he preached a good message. I don't agree with everything I say sometimes. You ever been there, Pastor Doug? But he preached a good message. He preached an hour and 20 minutes. He mentioned the Bible and the oil probably 3 or 4 minutes out of an hour and 20 minutes. It just wasn't the focus. It wasn't the emphasis. At one point, he even said, folks, it's not about the oil. Isn't that great? It's not about the oil. This is simply a sign and a wonder to help you release your faith at what God wants to do. So that's fantastic. The Holy Spirit manifests as He chooses. Here's the second thing. By the way, I was going to preach from my iPad tonight. I do that regularly, but I knew the battery would run down before I'd get finished. That was a joke, folks. Number two. We may be blessed, but the Holy Spirit manifestation isn't ultimately for our benefit. We're back in the book of Acts chapter 2. Same chapter that we just read, verses 1 through 4. This is verses 4 through 11. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes, Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya, adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. Listen, the Holy Spirit not only manifests as He chooses, but what we learn from this passage right here is that when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, it's for someone else's benefit, not just your own. I'm thankful that we get blessed in the process. But part of the challenge of our church, of our stream, of our movement, part of the challenge is we tend to think the Holy Spirit is just to make our lives better, to empower us to live an overcoming life. That's part of it. But what I find interesting is that when these people were filled on the day of Pentecost, immediately there was an overflow out of their life for other people. Instantly. It didn't take a week. It didn't take a month. They didn't have to go through 3 years of Bible study to figure out how the Holy Spirit was going to use them. All those things are good. Don't misunderstand me. But sometimes we spend so much time on preparation, we never get in the game. The football team. Anybody like college football here? Anybody here? Is anybody here like the Texas Longhorns? Like me? Texas Longhorns? I knew you were anointed, Brother John. Oh, no, 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 no. Okay. Imagine with me, if you would, the University of Texas. I was in Austin 33 years. That's probably why I'm a little weird, but it's still, that's my football team. They've been doing strengthening exercises, conditioning, exercises, workouts. They've been practicing, honing their skills. Coaches have worked on fresh plays using the strengths of the team. It's opening game. We're just a few months away from opening game. It's opening game of the season. We're going to receive the ball. The offense goes out. They huddle up. Then they break the huddle and they go back to the sideline. The other team kicks the ball and it just bumbles out on the field. They recover it. They go in for a touchdown. That doesn't make sense, does it? And then, not at all. Although that probably could happen at times with UT. You see, we would be stunned if the team went back to the sideline instead of getting into the game. But unfortunately, what we do, we're like that. Listen, the Sunday gathering, this is the practice. This is where we hone our skills. This is where we get strengthening, conditioning, all of those things. This is where, this is a combination pep rally before the game, and this is a combination of practice and preparation for the game. It's when we walk out those doors that we get in the game. You know the greatest challenge the church has right now in America? We think going to church is our spiritual obligation. We think when we go to church, we've done our duty. Nothing could be further from the truth. The Holy Spirit did not come on the day of Pentecost just so we could have great church services. Although I love, listen, I'd rather have a great service than a dead service. I'm thankful for, I love the worship of your worship team. Fantastic. But we have to make sure that we're aware when we walk out the door, we're walking from the sideline, so to speak, into the game. And that's where the rubber meets the road, if I could use that phrase. The Holy Spirit is given to empower us to go into action to get in the game, not just huddle up and do nothing. The Holy Spirit is in you, someone said, for your sake. But the Holy Spirit is upon you for the sake of others. The Holy Spirit's amazing. He's not limited to using you just in a few ways. You may say, well, Pastor, when I walk out the doors, I'm not going to walk up to somebody and start speaking in tongues. Well, you might not need to do that if the Holy Spirit doesn't direct you. Well, if I walk up to somebody, I'm not going to say, thus saith the Lord. Well, I'm not suggesting you do that either. What I'm suggesting is just simply listen and do what the Holy Spirit directs you to do. One day, I was driving into the church office. I was driving, and I passed by a building, two buildings that were being built on Loop 1. We called that Mopac in Austin. Beautiful buildings. They were twin buildings, one identical to the other, about 10 to 13 stories high. And I had an interesting thought when I drove by that building. I'd driven by it many times, watching it be built. I would drive by it every day on the way to the church office and every night on the way home. But that particular morning, I had an unusual thought. And this is the thought that crossed my mind. They're not installing those windows correctly. Now, how many of you agree that's an unusual thought, driving down the road, seeing a building? They're not installing those windows correctly. They're using the wrong seals. Then I saw in my mind two different types of rubber to seal windows. I've never installed those types of windows before. But this came to my mind. One wrapped around the edge and other was made of two separate strips that went down on either sides of the window. I went on to the office, but I couldn't get it off my mind. How strange to have a thought like that. Then I began to discern that the Holy Spirit was speaking to me. And I had a conversation with the Holy Spirit. I don't know anything about commercial building. Holy Spirit, I don't know if they're doing that right or not. And the Holy Spirit said, that's why I'm telling you, because I know. On the way home, I made a deal with the Holy Spirit. You ever done that? You ever made a deal with the Holy Spirit? I made a deal. I was going home late that day. It was well after 5. And I said, here's the deal. If I drive by and the company that's installing the glass in that those buildings is there, I'll call them. I knew I was pretty safe. It was way after, like I say, it was way past working hours. And so to my amazement, though, when I drove by, there was a vehicle that had something glass and window on the door, the sign on the door. So I had to exit. I had to turn around, went back, pulled up where I could read it, and I'm just making up a name because I'm not going to say the real name of the company. It said Joe's Glass and Mirror. That's not the real name, but you'll get the point. And so I wrote that down and I left. And I don't know if it was a couple of days or however long, but I struggled with making a telephone call to them to tell them, I mean, think about that conversation. But I did call, and the conversation was as awkward as you just thought it was. It was awkward. I called. I said, this is Pastor Kermit Bell. Is your company putting the glass in this building? Well, yes, we are. Is the person that's overseeing that project in the office? Well, just a minute. So they connect me. Hello. Who is this? This is Pastor Kermit Bell. Okay. What do you need? Or how can I help you? They're a little bit more polite than that. How can I help you? I said, well, sometimes God will speak to me. Probably not the best way to start the conversation. I don't know. And I said, I was driving down the road and I passed the buildings that you guys are installing glass, and I believe I heard God tell me the windows are not being installed correctly. Long pause. Who did you say you were? I said, I'm Pastor John Doe from the Baptist Church. No, I didn't say that. I said, I'm Pastor Kermit Bell. I said, let me tell you what I saw. I saw two types of seals, the seals that wraps around the edge of the glass and a type of seal that goes on each side of the glass. I don't know which one you're using, but I believe God told me it's the wrong one. He said, have you ever put in glass, sir? I said, no, sir, I haven't. Well, thank you for calling. That was it. I don't know. Sometimes, come on, let's just... None of us want to look like a fool, right? Let's just be honest. But, you know, I try to use wisdom. I haven't always used wisdom, but I try to use wisdom. And so that was it. Never thought anything else. They finished the building, and they opened them up. I shared this with the church as a way of illustration on how to walk and obey the Holy Spirit, kind of like I'm doing with you. And a few months later, I got a telephone call from a deacon. He wasn't on the board at the time, but he'd been a deacon. He was a doctor and his wife. And they said, Pastor, have you seen the news? I said, no, I haven't. They said, we were driving by those buildings you talked about, and you talked about the glass, and there were people standing outside looking up, and there were windows up at the top that had fallen out. And they landed on the ground. Of course, they shattered into thousands of pieces. And there was actually a news article or, something on the evening. That's when people used to, I guess, watch the news. I don't know if anybody watches the news today or not. And they said, we just thought you wanted to know. And so I hung up the phone and I said, Lord, I'm so thankful I was obedient to what you told me to do. You know, did they call me and say, hey, you were right? Nope, they never called me because that wasn't really important. I don't know if it was to build my faith or if it was to speak to the man that I spoke to on the other end of the phone. But what I know is the Holy Spirit can use you in ways you never imagined. They didn't teach me that in Bible school about commercial windows. I'm just going to be transparent with you. It's a struggle to obey like that sometimes. I'm just being real. I haven't always obeyed. That was one time I did obey. But sometimes the Holy Spirit will speak to you and arrest your attention, and you know that you have to do something about it. One more quick story, then I'll get on to the third point. We were eating at Whole Foods. You ever know what Whole Foods is? It started in Austin, so they have one of their premier stores there. So I was with the staff member. He and I were there having lunch, and we got some food, and we went to sit down to eat it, and we walked by a lady with tarot cards on one side of the table, and a young lady in her 20s on the other side of the table. How many know what tarot cards are? How many know that God does not use tarot cards? They're used of the devil. something rose up in me. The Holy Spirit began to rise up in me. And I thought, what am I going to say? What do I do? Do I rebuke the lady that's doing the tarot cards? Something, honestly, if I could just, something said, this is the territory God has given me spiritual authority over. And I'm not going to let that go by. There's something rose up in me, and yet I was scared to death to do anything. So I told, just for accountability, I told the staff member, Sam, I said, Sam, I'm going to have to say something to those ladies before we leave. He said, okay, Pastor. He was a good staff member. He walked with me upside the table and stood there and didn't say a word. But the Holy Spirit said, no, you don't need to rebuke the lady in tarot cards. You speak to the lady. That young lady's looking for answers. And you tell her to go home and read the book of John, and she'll find the answer she's looking for. And so I went up to her and I said, excuse me, I noticed that you ladies are doing something here. And I said, I looked at the young lady, I said, ma'am, do you have a Bible? She said, yes, I do. I said, the Lord wanted me to tell you that if you'll go home and read the book of John, you'll find what you're looking for. And that was it. And then I left. I told Cindy that when I got home, and Cindy said, you know, you should have said, there's a spirit that speaks to me sometimes. It's called the Holy Spirit. Because that's the language of Austin, you know what I'm saying? All that weird stuff. Okay, number three. Here's the third thing. Ready? What was the first one? The Holy Spirit manifests as He chooses, right? What's the second one? We may be blessed, but the Holy Spirit manifestation isn't ultimately for our benefit. We're blessed in the process, but it's to empower us to do what God wants. Here's the third one. There will always be those genuinely interested and those who will mock what the Holy Spirit does. They'll always be there. Here again, we're still in Acts chapter 2, not verses 12 and 13. So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean? Others mocking said, they are full of new wine. Oh, they're just drunk. Those people are just drunk. They've been drinking too much. Someone said, God offends the mind to expose the heart. Now, we need to be circumspect. I'm not suggesting we be gullible. Are you with me? I'm not suggesting we be gullible, believe everything that happens. But what I am saying is that we need to make sure that our being circumspect doesn't cross over to being skeptical. You see, being circumspect is okay. You want to test the spirits. You want to make sure that this is genuine. But being skeptical begins to bring doubt in even what God is doing genuinely. I have a book here called the Azusa Street Papers. Has anybody ever seen this before? This is a reprint of all the articles. You want to stretch your mind a little bit, stretch your faith a little bit, go through and read some of the miracles of what was happening, some of the things, some of the manifestations at Azusa Street. There's another book by a gentleman, and the name of the book is They Told Me Their Stories. And he began to sit down and interview the last generation, the last few that were living that were part of the Azusa Street revival. They were children when Azusa Street was going on, when the Holy Spirit was being poured out there in Los Angeles that eventually would impact the entire world. They said the glory of God was so thick like a fog, the kids would play hide and seek in the glory cloud. And I thought, that ain't right. But you know what? The Holy Spirit manifests as He wants to. And it's not ultimately about the blessing we receive. It's what He's doing. And we all know, if you know your church history, your Pentecostal history, we all know what happened there changed the world. Those 650 million believers I spoke about are a direct result of what happened at Azusa Street. God began to send the fire. Cindy and I have had this discussion. Babe, what if we were alive in 1906? Now think about that. There were really no airplanes at the time, right? There are no highways. No one really has cars. I mean, the automobile exists, but a few wealthy people have them. Henry Ford hasn't come out with all of the assembly line that made them affordable. There's no highway system. So how do you get from Texas to Los Angeles, California? You go by train, which is going to take a couple of days, several days, or you go by horse and buggy. I don't know, but I just said, what if we were alive and we began to hear what was happening? Would we be hungry enough for God? Would we be desperate enough for the things of the Spirit that we would quit our jobs if necessary, sell possessions if necessary, as some did, and make the trek all the way from Texas to California just to see and be a part of what God is doing? I would like to say, yes, we would be those kind of people. I can't speak for Cindy. And there are times that I think, yes, I would have done that. And then there are times I think I probably wouldn't have been spiritually in tune enough to actually do that. If we were to go, seeing the strange thing that happened, strange things that happened at Azusa Street. There was no order of service. They just prayed and prayed and prayed. Someone who felt prompted of the Spirit might speak. The man leading it put his head behind a crate, I think an apple crate or some kind of crate, buried his head and interceded the entire time. We would say, that's not leadership. Somebody needs to take control of the service. But in that environment, someone was in control of the service. He's called the Holy Spirit. Would we have allowed ourselves, even if we made the sacrifice to get there, would we have allowed ourselves to be offended at what we didn't understand? Would we allow ourselves to be offended by what the Holy Spirit was doing? You see, as a pastor, I always took the position, I didn't want to offend someone unnecessarily. If the gospel offends them, so be it. If truth offends them, so be it. If we're disorganized and that offends them, maybe that's on us. If we're sloppy in how we present the things of the Spirit and they're offended, maybe that's on us. But the Lord taught me a valuable lesson. The Lord taught me that I don't ever have to apologize for what the Holy Spirit is doing. I don't know if I'm preaching to the right people or not, but I'm just telling you that God taught me. We had a lady in our church. She got saved reading her Bible. Can you believe that? And after she'd been saved, I think, I don't know, months, maybe close to a year, she heard the Lord tell her, this is it. You're not going to grow anymore unless you get in a church. So she Googled Holy Spirit Church. And thank God our church showed up at the top of the list. I'm thankful for that. So Stephanie shows up one Sunday. We don't know who she is. She's a new believer. Never been in church. Ever. She comes in and we're a Spirit-filled church. And our services, the presence of God was a high priority. And during that season, there were a group of people that were coming together. Some of them were from Argentina. Some of them were from other places. They were revivalists. And they were holding special services in the Dallas area. So we'd made plans to drive up from Austin to get out of the weirdness, to come up to Dallas to experience God's weirdness. And a couple in our church, a board member no less, had the audacity to invite this poor new believer to that service. I thought down inside, Bob, you're out of your mind. She's not ready for that. You're gonna ruin whatever God's doing in her life by taking her to the Argentina revival people. We went. And it stretched me. And I'm a pastor. And I'm watching Stephanie. She's just sitting there. She's just sitting there. She didn't leave. Her husband's not a believer. He's not there. She's just sitting there. Second night, things really are starting to heat up in the spirit. I mean, people are trembling. People are shaking. People are falling. There's some unusual noises. The guy preaching is a lot of screaming when he's preaching. I'm just watching stuff. She's sitting there. So that service is coming to the altar time, and people are on the altar. And so I'm going to do the pastorly thing. I'm going to go over and try to soften the blow. So I went up to the row behind her, and I leaned forward. I said, "Stephanie, what are you thinking right now?" I was not prepared for her answer, because in her answer was a shock and a rebuke that she didn't even know about. She said, "What am I thinking? I'm thinking, where has this been all my life? I've needed this." And in those precious words of a new believer who had yet to be baptized in the Holy Spirit gently rebuked me and said, "Son, you don't ever have to apologize or soften what I'm doing genuinely." Now, what about you? What about you? What's the Holy Spirit saying to you right now? Are you satisfied where you are in the things of the Spirit? Now, can we have some musicians, whoever normally comes back? If you guys do that, if you don't, that's okay. The Holy Spirit doesn't need special music. But I want us to respond to what the Holy Spirit is saying to you. Are you open to allow the Holy Spirit to do what He wants to do? Right now, we're going to have an opportunity to meet with the Holy Spirit. And He's going to meet with us. He's going to meet with you. Yes, we're here corporately. Haven't you sensed the presence of the Spirit throughout the evening? Yes. Of course we have. But now He's going to meet with us individually. He's going to get personal. He's going to get up close and personal. You don't have to drive across the country right now. It's okay to do that, but you don't have to, because He's here. Are you hungry for more of the Spirit? Or is what God doing become a hindrance to you? Are you looking for authentic ministry? Or is there a part of you that looks back in a mocking way? You know what I hear today that grieves me? Here's what I hear sometimes that grieves me. "Oh, we want the Holy Spirit. We don't want that crazy stuff." I'm not really sure what they're talking about. I want to say, "Are you talking about the tongues? Well, you can't have the Holy Spirit without that. Are you talking about people falling out in the Spirit? That's the genuine work of the Holy Spirit. What do you mean you want the Holy Spirit but not the crazy? Are you just telling me that you're offended at what the Holy Spirit does?" I'm telling you, we do not get the Spirit on our terms. It's on God's terms. The Holy Spirit is God. I had a thought I've never had before service, as I was in the green room praying. And this was the thought. Those early pioneers of Pentecost suffered ridicule, persecution. My grandparents had stuff thrown at them when they would preach the gospel. Cindy's grandparents suffered ridicule as well. Here's the thought I had. They paid too big of a price for Pentecost for us to dumb it down in our day and age. They made sacrifices. I want you just to close your eyes for a moment. What will your response be? Do you want all the Holy Spirit has for you?
If you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, just begin to pray in the Spirit. What I'm doing doesn't need to be interpreted. I'm just praying in a prayer language. Go and lift your hands and just worship Him in that heavenly language. I'm just going to simply say this. If you want more of the Holy Spirit, I want you to stand up and make your way down to the front. If you just simply want more of the Holy Spirit so God can use you for His glory, just come stand at the front. Leave a little space in front of you because I'm going to leave about 2 feet because I'm going to have our pastors come. I know Pastor Charlie loves the things of the Spirit. This house welcomes the things of the Spirit. I know our pastors that are here, those that I know, they want the things of the Spirit. And in just a minute, we're all just going to start laying hands on you. We're just coming into agreement that God's going to respond to a hungry heart. Brother John Hall is going to join us in praying for you as well. These pastors' wives that are here, I want you to join us. My wife Cindy is going to lay hands on you as well. We're coming into agreement that the hunger of your heart that can only be satisfied by the things of God, the Holy Spirit will honor that. Come on, just lift your hands. Come, Holy Spirit. Come. Come, precious Spirit of God. We need more of you. We want more of you. Lord, forgive us for trying to put you in a box. God, forgive us for trying to explain away the supernatural. God, we declare that our country is dying. And the best thing we can do for them is be a supernatural, Spirit-filled church. God, I pray that you would use us in the marketplace to lay hands on people and see them healed. You would use us to lay hands on marriage people, husbands and wives, and see marriages restored. God, you would use us as you choose to use us. Now, as we pray, pastors, would you begin to lay hands on those that are coming for prayer? And as you pray, the Holy Spirit may begin to give you thoughts. They may be unusual thoughts. Or He may speak something to you. I just want you to respond in an appropriate fashion.
Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, You are welcome here. Come flood this place, fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by Your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. It's Your presence, Lord. Oh, I've tasted and seen how the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. It's Your presence, Lord. And the Holy Spirit, You are welcome here. Come flood this place, fill the atmosphere.
the glory is here. Yes, our glory is here. I can sense His mighty presence in this very atmosphere. So whatever you may need, you just reach out and receive and say, I'll have another. make me drunk, Lord, with the Holy Spirit. I'm tired of whispering. I'll start to shout it. Don't want a cup, Lord. Give me a fountain, cause I'm thirsty, Lord. Oh, yes, I'm thirsty, Lord. Oh, yes, I'm thirsty, Lord, for that living water of love.
Thank the Lord. You know, something that I was thinking about earlier, I've been just over this last year, 2 years really, just really focused on coming into His presence with thanksgiving. And one of the things we underutilize the most in our personal prayer life is that praying in the Spirit. And the Apostle Paul says that, how shall one say an amen to your giving of thanks if it's not interpreted? But when you're by yourself, you have this assurance. When you're praying in the Spirit, He is always going to bring you into the presence of God. Every time. And the pathway into the presence of God is thanksgiving. Is thanksgiving. It's a great way to kind of close out a service as well. Because really what you're doing is you're not ending the presence of the Lord or ending the flow. None of us would want to do that, would we? But to then convey and carry the presence of God with us. The great invitation that says, Lord, I don't want to say, no, you can be with me at church. I want to come into your presence at church or in that special place. But, Lord, I don't know, you might get a little bit dirty going to McDonald's or over here to CC's or over here to some of my favorite places, the places I have to go or I need to go. No, he says, no, that's exactly where I want to go. That's why I came. I came to go with you. You meet with me and I'll go with you. And so it's a wonderful way to also end with thanksgiving, isn't it? It's just a wonderful way to end with thanksgiving. There are some of our other people from other churches, just to make it easier, if some of you would like to write out a check and offering, we just want to bless and say thank you to the Lord for the gift of our assistant superintendent and his wife and their ministry. Haven't you enjoyed and are willing to receive this ministry tonight? Would you just put your hands together and let them know? It's a wonderful thing. You're saying thank you. That's a thank offering. Saying thank you, Lord, for the gift. The gifts that you blessed me. This is not idle words. This is something from your heart to us. And we receive it. Another way we can do that is that we can give. And it's just a way of opening up our heart. Opening up our wallet has this amazing ability of opening up our heart. And what we're doing is we're saying, thank you, Lord. And something happens there that just kind of locks that in. Just kind of locks that in there as we come with thanksgiving. And so I'm sure they're going to want to continue to play. I'm just going to offer a prayer of thanksgiving, and right up here are some baskets. If you're part of this church, feel free to write out Calvary Cathedral International. That'll be a separate offering. It'll be accounted for 100% secure. It'll be great. If you all also give online, do that. But if you're part of our Northwest Fort Worth section of churches, and if you'd like to write out a check, drop it in the same offering and make it out to simply NWFW. And that will be secure and will come to me and we'll get it deposited in the bank and be able to track that for you. But it'll be much easier if you're already here in this church to be tracked through this church. And of course, all the cash, no problem. Benjamin Franklin is easily transferable. Okay? So is Lincoln and Harrison and a few of the other guys. All right? So whatever the Lord will lay on your heart, just do that doing this. Lord, I'm just going to say thank you. I'm just bringing this as a thanksgiving offering to you. So we can just stand to our feet and let's just pray a prayer of thanksgiving. And that's a beautiful way to exit, isn't it? And then you'll be dismissed as you drop your offering, and then you'll be dismissed. So Lord, we just want to say thank you. We recognize you as the Lord of glory. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for coming, manifesting yourself, your different gifts, your services, your administrations, that, and also that you want to go with us from this place into the house, into the place of employment, into the place of challenge. And so we invite you to go with us. And we want to carry a spirit of thanksgiving upon us. That we're just so grateful to you. And we come with a token, with an item, with an offering. And with that, we're saying, Lord, thank you. Thank you for this ministry tonight. Thank you for these gifts that you've placed in the North Texas District. Thank you. And we say, we receive it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. The Lord bless us.